time we were together on the pastor's study, we were doing a study on depression. And we looked at some of the causes of depression, and then we were looking at some of the remedies to depression from the Word of God. And we want to pick up where we left off and continue to look at some remedies to depression in the Word of God. Another one would be leave the vengeance with God. Leave the vengeance with God. When you have been hurt by another, whether it were physically, verbally, or emotionally, you're not going to be satisfied until you get even. Nothing frustrates you more than to see the person get off scot-free while you are left to carry the scars of your injury. This breeds bitterness and will send you into a depression that will haunt you throughout the rest of your life. The best remedy is to remember three things. Number one, Jesus Christ was totally innocent and willingly accepted the punishment for all our sins without bitterness. And that's our example. Look with me in 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter number 2 with me. First Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 20. For what glory is it, if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye should take it patiently? But if when ye do well, and suffer for it, ye take it patiently. This is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again, when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. For his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. The second thing you want to remember is this. God will never allow you to take matters into your own hands to settle the score. The Word of God says, vengeance is the Lord's. Let's turn to Romans chapter 12 together. Romans chapter 12, and verses 17 through 19. Romans 12, 17 through 19. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. The third thing, too, is the way to overcome evil is with good. Again, chapter 12 of Romans says in verses 20 and 21, therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Amen. So one of the remedies of depression is to leave the vengeance with the Lord. Amen. Another remedy for depression is control your thoughts. When you are prone to depression, you generally have an active imagination that is filled with worrisome thoughts. These thoughts will consume your mind, causing your affection to turn away from the Lord and turn toward yourself. Look in 2 Timothy with me. 2 Timothy in chapter 3, verse number 2. Paul talks about the end times here, and he says in 2 Timothy 3:2, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy." Lovers shall be lovers of their own selves. See that? That's what depression will do. It'll make you to turn inward. Amen. You'll love yourself more than you love God and others. And these thoughts that you have to be trained to obey Christ. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, notice what the Word of God says, beginning in verse 3. "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." So we see the battlefield, amen, the spiritual battlefield is between our ears, the mind. And we're to bring every thought to the obedience of Christ. And if you'll do that, you won't get depressed. Now, when your thought life is under control, amen, the affections will be turned toward God. Notice Colossians chapter 3 in verse number 2. Colossians 3 verse 2. We're told, beginning in verse 1 actually, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on the things above, not on the things on the earth." And when you have your thought life under control to the obedience of Christ, that's exactly what's going to happen. You will set your affections on the things above and not the things on this earth. Not only that, when your thought life is under control, the thoughts will be right. The thoughts will be right. Again, the great chapter 4 of Philippians, that great chapter in verse 8, says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things." Amen? Control your thoughts. You get depressed because you're mind is wandering. It's thinking about things that cause you worry, amen, consume you. But Paul tells us where we should be thinking upon things that are honest, true, just, pure, lovely, of good report, virtue, amen. So we see when the thought life is under control, the affections will be turned toward God, the thoughts will be right, and that old disobedience will be revenged by your obedience. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, chapter 10, verse 6. "And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." Amen. So then we see that another way to remedy depression is to control your thoughts. Another way to remedy depression is to be content with what you have. Be content with what you have. Remember not to fret over not having everything you want, particularly when you want somebody and they don't want you. You have the Lord, who will never leave you nor forsake you, as he said in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. He loves you and cares for you. And he instructs us in 1 Peter 5, verse 17, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. And he will give you everything that you need, not want, see? We see this promise in the Word of God. Philippians, with me, chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, with me, in verse number 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Notice also with me, in the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 6, in verse number 8. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. What a blessing. God will give you everything that you and I need. Then one last place, the book of James. The book of James, chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. For whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? You lust and have not. You kill and desire to have, and you cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts. See, sometimes our prayer life is hindered because we're praying for things that we don't need, but that we want, that we lust after. Amen. And God knows those things are not good for us, and he won't give them to us. Amen. So another remedy for depression is to be content with what you have. Another remedy for depression is make friends of God's people. Amen. Make friends of God's people. When you're depressed and you are very lonely, amen, but when you have friends that you love, you are accepted for just who you are, a child of God. Remember that you have to get out of your shell and make friends. In the book of Proverbs, we're even instructed to do that. Amen. In Proverbs chapter 18, notice what it says in the Word of God. Proverbs chapter 18, and verse number 24. A man that hath friends must shew himself friendly. If you want to have friends, then you need to be friendly. You need to get out of your shell. You need to extend yourself. Don't think that they're going to pity you and come looking for you. You'll be very disappointed. Amen. All right, another remedy then for depression is make friends of God's people. The next one we want to look at is, another remedy for depression is praise the Lord. You have a command in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16, to rejoice evermore. And when you are depressed, you are breaking this commandment routinely. When you are depressed, amen, you also tend to be very ungrateful, which is against God's commandment to give thanks in everything, as found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. Now, so we see then that another remedy of depression is to praise the Lord. Another one, remedy to depression, is humble yourself. You are not the center of the universe. You are not the most important person on earth. Amen. See, that's what depression is. Depression is a focus on self. You know, having the feeling that the universe, everyone and everything, revolves around you. Amen. And it's not true, even though our mind will try to tell us so. Look in Romans with me. Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. Notice what the Word of God has to say. in verses 7 and 8 with me. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. So we don't live or die unto ourselves. Amen. We belong to the Lord. We live under the Lord. We die under the Lord. We belong to the Lord. Amen. See? We're not all by ourselves. That's why we need to humble ourselves. And the thing to remember, there are others who have faced problems similar to yours or worse. Look at in 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5 with me. In 1 Peter chapter 5, in verse 9, who resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So we have a tendency to think, again, we're the center of the universe. Whatever we're going through is never happened to anyone else. But it's not true. As the Word God says, whatever you've gone through, others of your brothers and sisters in Christ have gone through the similar situation and problem. And the way to get through these, amen, is through humility. And notice again in 1 Peter 5, verses 6 through 8. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, and that he may exalt you in due time. See, we need to humble ourselves. Humble ourselves before God, and he will exalt us in due time, according to his time table, not ours, amen. Verse 7, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Whatever you're going through, amen, cast it upon him. He cares. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And then we see, verse 9, we just read, whom resists steadfast in the faith. Resist the devil. Amen. He'll try to bring you down. He'll try to make you depressed. He'll try to make you think that you're the only one, you're the center of the universe, the most important person, and God doesn't care about you. But he does. We saw he does. Humility. If you want to get rid of that depression, humble yourself. That's a remedy for depression. Another way, amen, to remedy depression is to watch your diet, exercise, and rest. Many times you can make great strides against depression by just taking better care of yourselves. You know, there are many things we eat, amen, that affect our brain chemistry and the way we feel, amen. There are a number of things in your diet that can contribute to depression, not the least of which is sugar, amen. We know how we've seen the effect in sugar on children who have had too much sugar. You know, a lot of the foods today that are geared towards children, be it cereal, whatever it may be, fruit drinks or whatever it is full of sugar. And that has a tendency to wind up kids, amen. Look in Proverbs chapter 23 with me. Proverbs chapter 23. In Proverbs chapter 23, notice what it says here. verses 1, 2, and 3. When thou sittest to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is before thee. Amen. And put a knife to thy throat, and if thou be a man given to appetite, be not desirous of dainties, for they are deceitful meats. And here's a warning about eating. Amen. And what's put before us. Amen. And this putting a knife before your throat is basically saying, you know, that you really have to curb your appetite if you're one given an appetite, if you're one that overeats. Amen. You got to be careful. You have to watch what you eat, what you should eat, just what you need. You know, the expression, your eyes are bigger than your stomach. Amen. Be not desirous of these dainties, for they are deceitful meats. You know, dainties could be things that will do you more harm than good if you overindulge. You know, the sweet things. Amen. We've got to be careful. Our diet affects us not only physically but emotionally. Now, we live in a stressful world, do we not? And exercise is vital to shed the stress and resulting depression. Amen. Look what it says in 1 Timothy. You know, the other thing is, I want to talk to preachers for a moment too. We as preachers preach on many things. We preach on many sins. You know, the Bible, which the Bible talks about. You know, be it against smoking and drinking, and all these other things. But very few, amen, preachers preach on overeating or gluttony. Amen. And it's a sin. Paul says we shouldn't have anything be under control of any. We should not allow anything to keep us under control. Amen. Be it a smoking, drinking, overeating. Amen. Overeating shows you that a person is out of control. Amen. They're not keeping their body under. But very few preachers have I ever heard preach against that. Why? Because most of them are terribly overweight. And that's a poor testimony. Just as it's a poor testimony for a Christian to smoke or drink, amen, or go to the movie theater or whatever it may be. Amen. That's why it's important, I believe, for a testimony for a preacher that he, you know, he doesn't have to be as thin as a toothpick, but amen, he should exercise some control over his diet, amen, and not be so grossly overweight that his belly hangs over the belt, amen. You know what I'm talking about. I'm a Baptist preacher, independent, amen, Bible-believing Baptist preachers, amen. I know us Baptists have a tendency to like to eat and overeat, amen. But it's a poor testimony and affects us. It can affect us emotionally and mentally. Our diet does. I had us turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. It says, for bodily exercise proffereth little. Now, you know, people are saying, well, you know, this is not, exercise is not important. Now, what it's saying here is, you know, it's not saying you shouldn't exercise. You should exercise, but like anything else, you shouldn't overdo it. You know, you can get into one of these health nuts too. You know, where you worship your body, and you know you want have abdominal muscles like who can I think of? There are many people out there, bodybuilders that have, you know, real tight abdominal muscles. He's not talking about that. But he's saying that you should exercise. Exercise, amen, helps relieve stress. You know, go out for a game of golf, play some tennis, jog. Individually, I have a treadmill. I love to spend time on the treadmill. Amen. Try to spend some time on the treadmill each and every day. But not overdo it. Diet and exercise, very important to depression. Amen. Rest is of utmost importance. Especially I speak to those preachers like myself who work full-time secular jobs and also pastor. You know, my wife will kid me and she says I'm lacking, you know, thousands of hours of sleep. And in some ways it's true because you're always going, going, going. But your body can take only so much and then it'll break down. Some preachers don't like to admit it. It's happened to me. Amen. Your body can only do so much. Your mind can do so much. You can only, if you overload it, it's going to shut down on you. And you're not going to be any good to anyone, amen, to yourself or to your family or to your members in your church. Diet, exercise, and rest are very important. And you know, when you're depressed, you can't sleep. When you need the rest, because what's happened? You burned up the good sleep chemicals in your brain. You know, that chemical they call serotonin in the brain. That's what a lot of these medications that they prescribe for depression are. Because people have used up the serotonin chemical in their brain. From trying to do too much, trying to fit 48 hours in a 24-hour day. That says it all. Look at Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11 with me. You know, as preachers have a tendency to forget, you know, common sense. They throw common sense out the window. We don't need to do that. Come unto me, Matthew 11, verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Serving the Lord Jesus Christ is not supposed to be a burden. But you know what? A lot of preachers are not resting in him, but trying to do everything in the flesh. That's why you burn out, that's why you get depressed, and so forth and so on. Turn it over to him, take up his yoke, amen. He's going to give you the rest. Serving him is easier. It's not supposed to be a burden, it's supposed to be easy, it's supposed to be light, amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. We're almost done. A lot of wonderful things in the Bible. Amen. Everything's in the Bible. You got a problem, the Bible talks about the problem and gives you the solution. Amen. Depression is one of them. Don't make believe you're never depressed. We all get depressed at times. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 12. The sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eat little or much, But the abundance of the rich will not suffer him to sleep. Amen. You can have plenty of money. Amen. But if you don't have your health, you got nothing. You're not going to be able to sleep. Amen. Isn't it nice? A good night's sleep. Good night's rest after laboring all day. What a blessing that is. Again, watch your diet and exercise and rest. They're very important to help remedy depression. I hope this practical study in the Bible on depression has been a help to you. I hope you'll put it to good use. All of it is available on cassette tape. This is Brother Gino. We've run out of time. Thank you for joining me for the Pastor Study.